are starting a brand new series today about prayer, about how to pray, the power of prayer. And so a couple things before we get started. Number one, we're going to ask, and we'll have Chris explain later, we're going to ask that you commit to praying for the next 40 days. Okay, so right up from at the front, I want to ask that you just be mulling that part over. And Chris will explain how that's going to work in a bit. And then second is, you'll see these chalkboards or whiteboards. We're not sure what they are. They're black whiteboards. Yep. It's interesting. Anyway, on one side, you'll see it says prayers gone up, answers come down. Okay? So throughout this series, we're going to have this here, and we want to invite you, if you have a prayer request, something that you're like, you know what, in this 40 days, I'm going to press in, and I want to say, this is what I'm praying for specifically, in faith that it can be written on that board over there. Okay, so during our sermon our worship time after the sermon, you can get up and write down your prayer request. Okay, you can get up at any time during that music portion. Another thing, actually, that's it. We're just gonna stop there. Okay, ready? So. And talking about prayer, I was remembering a few years ago, Haley, my daughter, she's now 8, so she was probably 5 at the time. She came up to me, she said, "Can I pray for you?" And I was like, "Oh, you know, it's so sweet. You're 5-year-old." Like, "Can I pray for you, Mom?" And so I was so proud. So she starts praying, and she goes, "You know, God, would you help Mommy today be a pastor and a photographer and a mommy? And would you give her all the fancy clothes in the world?" And I was like, "Preach it, sister." Like, prayers up. Okay. And I laugh so hard. And I think about that all the time. Just her confidence to come before God and even ask for fancy clothes for me. You know, just so, so great. And I love when kids pray. If you have kids and they're, you know, if you pray around the dinner table or something, it's just so amazing how innocent they are, how unassuming it is, how they're just talking in their own language and how confident they are, right? Like Haley or Allie will be like, "I want to pray for dinner." "No, I want to pray for dinner." They get in fights about it, you know. And so our goal at the end of this series, it's 7 weeks, is that you would have that kind of confidence in prayer, right? That you would know what to pray, when to pray it, how to say it, okay? Because a lot of times, you know, we lack in our prayer life. And I think that's not because we don't want to be people that pray. It's because we don't know how or the authority or what to do. And so this is going to be a really practical series for us.
Yeah, we're going to be preaching for the next several weeks out of Matthew chapter 6. And so if you want to open there with me, it's going to be up on the board as well. But we're going to be starting at verse 5 and going through verse 8 today. So Matthew chapter 6, 5 through 8. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Mm-hmm. So what we want to unpack today is this truth from this portion of Scripture that says that a powerful prayer life starts with proper posture, okay? It's a little bit of a tongue twister. Literally, the first time we went through this, every word was a P word, and we were like, "That's going to be ridiculous if we get up there." Like,
had to break it up.
The front row is going to be splash zone. Me, right? So we had to change it up a little bit. But a powerful prayer life starts with proper posture, and this is unpacked for us a little bit in verse 5 here. And so, I want to just ask, right? Like, Jesus is unpacking this. This is part of his Sermon on the Mount. So he's gone through all these amazing lessons for us on how to be, who to be, you know, like how this kingdom world is going to be flipped upside down because of his presence. Everything that you thought was right is now wrong, right? Everything is opposite. It's opposite world now, right? And so he's even saying this about how we've presented ourselves religiously before God, right? And that at that day and age, it was is way too much pomp and circumstance, right? And not enough heart. And so that's why he's really unpacking that. It's a proper posturing that makes all the difference when it comes to prayer. So, you know, how much that is done in the name of Jesus is Jesus truly a part of, right? We can ask that in the church world, in the Christian world today, how much that is done in the name of Jesus, even historically, right? You think the Crusades were part of what Jesus wanted? Right? Like, and that's what so many like people who are against Christianity point out, these things like the Crusades, and they point out, like, you know, all these eras in history where Christians really weren't where they needed to be, you know, whether it's through abolition seasons or or whatever, right? The civil rights movement, historically, the church was pretty much not who it needed to be in the civil rights movement, even, you know, the 50s, 60s, and 70s and stuff, right? And so that's, there's some black eyes on the church, right? Mm-hmm. And we were doing other things. We were trying to do other things in the name of Jesus, but we were missing the boat, right? And so what Jesus is calling our attention to is that, hey, if you want to really be who I'm asking you to be, you have to start here. This is a huge place you got to start. You got to learn how to communicate with our Father before you can do anything else, because that is what's going to align you and make sure that what's done in my name, right, is actually for me and not just for you or the church or somebody else. Yeah. And so it's a really important place for us to start here.
Yeah, and so we're going to look through this passage. This is the beginning, right before Jesus says the Lord's Prayer. If you know the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, you know that. I grew up in the Lutheran church, and so I say it, I still say it from memory the way we were taught then. But so this is right before he says that. And so we're going to answer the question, and looking at what he says, what is the proper posture for prayer? What is it then? Right? If we want to have a powerful prayer life, if we want to be people that understand the authority that we have in Jesus to ask and intercede for others and, you know, pray powerfully that the results come down, right, on the other side, then what is that posture that we have to take? And so the first thing we see in verse 6 is that we have to set aside a place, okay? Set aside a place to pray. In verse 6, he says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Okay, other translations will say, go into your closet, right? Go into a space, set aside a place to pray. Now, as we look at this, Cody already said that Jesus is beginning to flip the script on this is what's normal in the world. And so, you know, everybody would look to rabbis, right, or the teachers of the time and just kind of herald them as the religious heroes of the time. And clearly, some of them have had it wrong. They were standing on the corners saying, like, look at me, and had all the flowery language of prayer and knew exactly what to say, and they were drawing attention to themselves out on the street corners praying. And so Jesus comes and says, I know you think that they know it all, but I'm telling you, if you want to have a proper prayer posture, go where no one can hear you. Go into your closet where you're just by yourself, where your Father who's unseen, but he's there with you, listens to you, that you pray between you and him. And this is interesting because I think it could be a place, but I think it's also just a comment about your motives in prayer. Right? It's a comment to say, you know, why are you praying? Are you praying so that other people can think that you're really holy by what you say or, you know, whatever? Or are you praying with the intention to meet with God, where your Father who's unseen is there with you as well?
Yeah. There we go. Okay. Mic's on. So there was this group of ancient Christian Celts, okay? So Celtic Christians from like not quite 2,000 years ago, but maybe like 1,500, 1,700 years ago or so. And they came up with this idea of what's called a thin place. Anybody heard of that before in like spiritual terms, what a thin place is? Okay, so what they believed is that there were certain places in their land, right, where the space between heaven and earth was a little thinner. And so they would go to those places and they would offer up their prayers in those spaces because they wanted as little distance between their prayers and God as possible. So what I love about that, right, is that we know we can pray anywhere, right? Like, we know we can do that, right? But what's interesting about that is when you have a place, your distractions melt away. So like it's difficult sometimes for us to be able to pray freely like in church if you're not used to praying around other people, right? Because you're worried about praying out loud, you're worried about like, you know, what this person is doing next to you, you close your eyes and you're hearing all these noises. Like if we're totally silent right now, right, there's a buzz going on in the kitchen area, right? So there's all this stuff to distract you. But the purpose of what we use like a prayer closet for, right, is because you go there because there's nothing to distract you. You know the clothes that are hanging on the racks, right? Mm-hmm. You know the feel of that carpet. You know the noises in your house, and when you shut that door behind you, there's nothing, literally nothing, to keep your focus off of God. And when you keep that as a repetitive place, the more and more you do that, the quicker and quicker you get into that place, that space, where you know this is just a time for me and God. Mm-hmm. That space between heaven and earth is carved away because there's no more distractions in us, right? And I think that's a really important thing for us. I know for me, oftentimes when I pray, it's really easy to get distracted, you know? Yeah. I'll start praying and then like 2 minutes later, I'm like thinking about some random thing that happened that week or a list item that I need to accomplish that day. And then I'm like, oh no, I was praying. I have to like shake myself out of that and then go back to prayer. Right? Mm-hmm. Or like sometimes I try to pray while I drive, right? But then it's like I don't either know what I'm doing while I'm driving or I'm focusing a little too much on driving, you know? All those things aren't bad. It's good to have an open line of communication with God, of course, right? Mm-hmm. While I drive to say a quick little prayer, but your intentional prayer time where you're sitting down and you're bringing everything you have before God needs to be in a space with no distractions. Mm-hmm. And so we refer to those as prayer closet or a war room. There's that movie that was out, right? Mm-hmm. That kind of helped unpack that idea a little bit. But I'd love for you to consider, right, this idea of that thin space. What is that thin space mm-hmm. in your life, or what could be that thin space in your life?
Yeah, I think what Jesus is getting at is that this prayer life that you want to cultivate needs to be intentional. It needs to not just be random or just whenever, although we can pray whenever. The Bible says pray continually, right? Pray without ceasing. If that's the case, I'm not going to be in my closet all day, okay? I've got a 7-week-old. That's not going to work. But there is something to be said about being intentional to say, I'm going to set aside a place in my heart, a place in my house, set aside a time, a place in my schedule to meet with Jesus. And so, where is your thin place with God? And you know what? In Red Rock, some of the closets are just out of this world, right? Right, they're just huge. And so you could like divvy up one side of it to be your prayer closet, right? You could go into your prayer closet. I have a little chair in my office, and that's where I sit, and that's where my prayers, that's my place. So if you could think of right now a place that you can meet with God, free of distraction, quiet, just you and Him, where would that be? Also, we have to examine our motives in prayer, right? We don't want to just put a check in the box, say, okay, I prayed today. Or, you know, I'm a good Christian, I did my thing every day, right? I got it done. Or I'm just kind of coming selfishly. Or I'm just wanting to look holy in front of a lot of people, and so I'm quick to pray or whatever in front of people. So what are your motives? I said, are you trying to keep up with the spiritual Joneses? Right? Like, who in your life is like, they got it all together, like, I got to be like them, you know, so I got to pray like them, and if I, no, not me, I saw some point. You know, if someone, you know, if they pray that way, I can't pray like that, and so, I just don't even pray at all, right? It's not about comparison. That will kill the prayer vibe quick. It's a place between you and God, and He already knows. We're going to talk about that in a minute. He already knows, so you can come before Him. You don't have to keep up or compare to anyone else. So we need to set aside a place.
Right. So the next thing that is required for a proper posture in our prayer life is to abandon all pretenses. We have to abandon all pretenses.
There's another P.
There's another P. You're going to, there's going to, throughout this whole thing, you're going to be thinking now. Oh, P word, P word. There's another P word. Okay. So we see this in verse 7, right? This idea of abandoning all pretenses. It says, don't babble on, right? Don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Jesus is making it clear to us, right, that it's not about how many words you say, it's not about the repetition behind what you say, it matters your heart behind those words. Mm-hmm. And too often, it's easy for us to get caught up in the just rote...
Routine,
thank you. Mm-hmm. The rote routine of prayer, right? And so we might even have prayers like the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. Right? That can even become unhealthy for us because we won't mean it. And Jesus didn't give us the Lord's Prayer just as like, if you say these exact words every day, once a day, you're covered. Right? That is not what Jesus is saying. He's giving us an outline that we're supposed to fill in a lot of blanks in. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's what this whole series will be about. So we won't unpack that too much right now. But what he's trying to say is make sure that you're not just babbling on, that you're not just saying things to say things. Too often we find ourselves with, okay, like, here's a cool prayer idea, right? Or we hear somebody that they pray this way. So I'm going to start doing that, right? And then you'll start doing that. And then after a while, it's like, I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. I'm just saying these words. And, right? And it has, again, zero meaning behind it. And so that's what Jesus is trying to get us to understand. Don't just babble on. It's your heart behind it. You have to abandon all pretenses. You have to abandon everything you think you know what prayer is and just bring yourself, which can be a scary thing in those moments. Mm-hmm. When it's just you and God, right? And you're saying like, I don't really know what to say here. Mm-hmm. And so often we start to babble, we start to ramble to try to fill that space. But that's unhealthy for us. That's not what God wants. And so Jesus is really trying to drive that idea home, right? Don't just babble, come to your Father with just yourself, mm-hmm, and start there. Right. That's the most important
thing. Right, we want to show you something really quick. Kind of illustrate this.
As a deer in the cold water, so my soul longs after thee. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever, ever, ever, ever. So say we all. Father God, we just ask not what we can do for you, but what you can do for our country. What we can do for us. So, just by the power vested in me by the state of Arkansas, just declare this purpose and order. May God be ever in your favor.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a good big clap of praise.
That's that point. So I love that. So to set this up, what's so funny about this is that this is how this church pranks first-time preachers at their church. So they'll have like the worship leader like I don't know how to end this. Please save me. And so you can see the pastor like, okay, buddy, like let's wrap this up. Like he's gonna start saying the Pledge of Allegiance after a moment, right?
Oh my gosh, so funny.
So,
but isn't that just how it is? Isn't that sometimes like you just feel like, man, I'm just saying all these holy phrases, Christianese, so to speak, right? Like I'm just saying things that I don't even know what they mean to try and like prep God or something. Like, see, God, I'm holy. I know what I'm talking about. Babbling on, really, is what we do sometimes. And so, and honestly, it's like acting. Right? Sometimes we're just not real before God. Like, we think we have to butter him up to hear our prayers, right? We have to, like, show and prove to him, like, see, I know a lot about theology and a lot of things, and so now you can hear me. I want you to know that God is not concerned with how holy you think your prayers are, okay? He is concerned with you. He just wants you, period. And you know what? He made you, and he sees you, and he knows every facet of who you are. So he knows what you understand and don't understand in your mind. And he knows your language and what's specific to you and how you talk and kind of your slang, so to speak, right? He knows your voice better than you know it yourself. And so we don't have to butter him up. We don't have to pretend that we have holy prayers that are super good or knowledgeable. That is just not how he's asked us to pray. You know, I wrote here, we don't want to holy up our prayers. We don't need to do that. Right? Like God says when we talk to him in scripture, it says that when we're just talking with him, it's like an incense, like a super great fragrance that's going up to him. See, I love that picture, right? When we're praying and we're with him, it's like incense. It's pleasing to him. It smells good, or it's good for him. And so the question we have today is, are you willing to abandon all pretenses in your prayer life? Are you willing to stop pretending that you know everything or that you have all these holy words? Are you willing to just admit, you know what, this is who I am right now, and I'm coming before you with who I am? The Bible says that even when you don't know what to say, that the Holy Spirit interprets that for you. So when you come before me, you ever just been like heartbroken over something and you just can't even pray? You're just like, ugh, I don't even know what to say. He knows already, right? And so he knows before we even say anything, which is going to lead us into our next point, actually.
So, that you're doing.
Which is mine. Okay. Yeah. So the third, we are on it. We are on it today. The third thing is that when we understand that, when we abandon all pretenses, then we can proceed with trust. Okay, we can proceed with trust. And in verse 7, it says, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And I'd like to add on, which is probably not safe to do to Scripture, but it's okay. He knows what you need even when you don't know what you need. Right? He knows what you're coming. You might be asking for a Lamborghini, and he's like, I know what you're asking for is a heart change when it comes to your finances. So we'll go on that journey. Okay? Like, he knows. He knows. And he has so much grace. So we can come before him, and we can just trust him. You know, sometimes we keep God at arm's length in our prayer life because we're afraid to ask. You know, there's this weird theology that kind of goes around in our mind sometimes, like, I don't want to say it because then God might not do it. Or I don't want to say, Lord, I'm 100% surrendered to you because then he might call me to Africa. You know, like, we have this, like, arms, or Red Rock, okay? We have this arm's length prayer life with God. Like, I'm going to just try and say enough so that you know that I'm here with you, but I don't want to really divulge it all. But Scripture says he already knows what you need before you ask him. So we have to come into our prayer with trust.
Yeah. Have you ever had a car that you don't trust? Right? Isn't that the funnest thing? Like, especially a commuter car where it's like, okay, you going to get me there today? Or what's going to happen today? What's that new noise happening right there? And you're just driving and you're like terrified. You're watching the dials constantly. Like, is this thing going to overheat? Like, I don't know what this dial does, but if it does something weird, I'm sure I'm going to break down, right? It's just stressful experience the entire time. I've had a couple cars that were lemons. One I bought when I was, this is pre-Financial Peace University, and I bought the car because it was black. That's my only reason. I was like, sweet, a black car? Nice! And it was the worst car I've ever owned, ever. And so, like, there was, towards the end of its life, it would overheat like crazy. I dropped, like, $2,000 just trying to make this thing not overheat. And so then I'd have to plan my day to, like, get to work a half hour early because I was going to overheat on the way. And so I'd have to pull over and wait a little while and then, like, go again, right?
In your black shirt.
I bought this in North Dakota, and then I moved to California, a black car with black leather seats, and that was a bad, bad idea. I'm really glad I don't still have it out here, because I would melt constantly out here. So here's the thing, right? The difference between a car that you don't trust and a car that you do trust, right? When you have a car that you trust, right, you hear a noise in the car, and you're like, that's it. I wonder what that was. Must have been some road noise. Maybe the car next to me. Couldn't have been me. You know, you don't care about those dials. You're not looking at those at all, right? You're gonna be the first one to volunteer to drive somewhere sometimes too, because it's like, my car's gonna get us there. That's awesome, you know. Let's take a road trip. Let's see how far this thing can take us. This is awesome, right? Right? But here's the thing. Our prayer life is similar, right? In that when we start trusting God, we're gonna go places with him. But the more fear we have behind who he is and where he's gonna take us, we're not gonna go very far. That communication, just like a car, is going to break down. And what's the difference between a car that you trust and you don't is maintenance, right? The more work you put into that car, that new car is going to get old eventually, right? Mm-hmm. The miles are going to pile on, and you're going to start thinking to yourself, when's the last time I had an oil change? Or maybe I should have been a little better about getting those transmission fluid exchanges, you know, the flushes happening and all that, right? Maybe I should have made sure that the coolant levels were right on. I should have done more to make this thing last longer, right? And so in the midst of those times, you start questioning, man, who have I been to this car? who am I in this relationship to this poor thing? It's been trying for me, but man, it's failing right now, and that's on me. Right? Our relationship with God, our prayer relationship with God in who he is and who he is to us is so dependent on our choices, not on his. He's always there. He is the reliable one. He is always reliable, and he wants us to take us to places that we would never dream of. But we have to maintain our faith. We have to maintain our trust in that relationship. Otherwise, we're going to stand still. We're not going to go anywhere. We're not going to want to ever get in that car unless it's an absolute necessity and we're at the end of our rope. Mm-hmm. Right? That's when you get into the broken down car. It's like, well, I don't have any choice. I have to do this. And so then when we approach God in that mentality, what are we bringing him? We're bringing him our fear, not our trust. And so our prayers look like, God, would you bail me out of this? Oh my goodness, God, I'm in such a bad position right now. I need you to help me here. I need you to save me. I need you to get me out of this terrible situation. That's what fear, what prayers out of fear look like. But prayers of trust say, God, thank you. God, thanks for today. Thanks for who you are to me. Thank you that I know whatever happens today, you're in control.
Yeah.
See the difference there? There's a major difference in the way that we approach God. Mm-hmm. Right? We have a choice in this life with God, and I say it a lot, but we can operate in fear and control or trust and surrender. You can't walk that line. You don't get to. Anything other than trust and surrender is just operating out of fear and control. And fear is control. That's saying, I don't want to trust this situation to you, God, so I'm just going to hold on to this fear and not even look at it. So where are you at in your prayer life today with God? Does it look like fear and control? Or does it look like complete trust and surrender? Mm-hmm. Is the list of things you're praying for represent somebody surrendered to God? Or someone trying to control things? It's such an important question that we ask before we dive into the components that make up the Lord's Prayer that Jesus is trying to teach us how to pray. We need to make sure that our heart is right before we even attempt to pray anything. Mm-hmm. Trust and surrender is the only way we're going to see any fruit in our prayers.
Yeah, we're going to have the worship team come forward, and we're going to enter into a time that we can respond to this word that God's given us. And so you have our prayers gone up board, and we have our answers come down. I want to share one that happened this week. So I'm going to share for Esther is what's going to happen. So Esther has been asking for prayer for her dad. And so her dad was diagnosed with meningitis and was told he was going to die. And there was even a point where they were like going to say, we're going to unplug him. It's over. It's done. And so that's what Esther said. You know what? I need y'all to be praying. And so that was just a few weeks ago. And so he's been kind of, you know, there were some exciting things, like he woke up, but then he was not awake again. And even last week, I think he had quite the episode where it was just kind of bad. He was freaking out, his body wasn't working. But she called me 2 days ago and told me that her dad is talking right now. Yeah. You guys, that is a miracle. Okay, this man had so much disease in his brain, on his skin, on his head. They said he'll never, even if he's going to live, he's not going to talk again. And here he is. She said he was preaching to the nurses. Like, he was like, this is, you know. And if you know anything about her dad, it's like 9 lives. Like, amazing what God's done in his life. And so prayer works. It's an amazing thing what God does when we come before him in proper posture and we say, Lord, okay, I'm getting quiet with you. I'm setting aside a place. I'm not going to pretend that I know everything. I'm not going to pretend that I am super holy. You already know me. And in fact, you already know what I need. And so I could just come confidently before you. When we do that, guys, amazing things happen. And so we're going to go on a journey together for 40 days, and that leads up to Easter, okay? And we're going to pray. We're going to pray like we've never prayed before, all right? And some of you, I want you to know, I was praying about this morning, and some of you might be thinking, okay, I really got to start over in my prayer life because I've kind of botched it the last season. And I felt like God said, it's not a starting over time, it's a step forward time. Does that make sense? Because I think we can get discouraged about like how long it's been since we prayed, or how, you know, I haven't read my Bible, so I'm in debt now. Like, if you ever have the Bible app plan, you know, and you miss a couple days and it's like, oh my gosh, like there's that little catch me up button. That's God's grace, right? You just catch me up, right? That's God's grace. And he says, you don't need it. It's not a start over. It's a step forward. And so we're going to go on this journey together. And we thought no better way than to start it with communion, because Jesus sat around with his disciples, his best friends, who were about to abandon him, said, like, we're with you. If you're going to die, I'm going to die with you. And, you know, I'll never leave you. And he knew, you're all going to leave me. Every one of you, you're going to scatter. And even then, he sat around and he said, I'm going to go to the cross for you. In not so many words, he just said, you know what? Here's my body broken for you. Here's my blood poured out for you. I've got it handled, right? I've got it handled. I don't want one day, is this a baptism happening over here? I don't want one day that we cannot be in communication together. And so you know what? I'm gonna fix it. All the sin, all the gap between us, I'm gonna fix it. I'm gonna go to the cross. Sacrifice myself so we can have a relationship together. And so as we talk about posture, I just want you to today to come up in communion and thank God that we can have a conversation about how to posture ourselves before. Because before Jesus, there was no just, you know, I can talk to you anytime. And I think we forget that. Before Jesus, it was, I gotta, you know, there's sacrifices and the whole temple and the whole thing. Now he says, my presence is with you wherever you go. I'm with you. You can talk to me anytime. And so I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to ask us a couple questions. We always want to give an opportunity in our services. So if you're here today and you're hearing this about this amazing God, about the Savior that loves you, and you are thinking, you know what? I want to get right with God. I want to give my life to him. There's something right now pressing in on me, and I don't know what it is exactly. I don't know everything there is to know about a relationship with God, but in this moment right here, I know this is exactly what he's asked me to do. And you want to give your life to Christ for the first time today, just we ask that you be brave enough to raise your hand, just to take that step, just to raise your hand and say, okay, this is it. We always want to give that opportunity. Thank you. We talk about posture, and as you know, you enthusiastically say, I'm going to pray for 40 days. Okay, I'm in. I want to ask, are you someone that needs to set aside a place? If that was just spoken for you today to say, you know what, I need to be better about being intentional in my prayer life, and in the next 40 days, I'm going to work on that. I'm going to set aside a place in my home, a place in my heart, a place in my schedule to meet with God. Would you raise your hand? Awesome. Awesome. If you heard Jesus say, don't babble on, okay? It's not about Christianese flowery language. And you just want to say, you know what? I've been kind of concerned about praying because I wasn't sure what to say. And I kind of was not confident. And you want to say today, you know what? I'm going to abandon all pretenses. No more pretending. I'm going to come before God the way that I am, the way that he knows me. Would you just raise your hand? Awesome. That's great. It's freeing. And if you're someone needs to proceed with trust that has been holding God maybe at arm's length, afraid of what he might say or what he might think or what he might answer, would you just raise your hand? You just want to proceed with trust. Thank you. Thank you. That's awesome, guys. You know, as you come forward, we have the bread up here and you can dip it into the juice. We're going to ask that you come down the center aisle when you're ready, when you feel like, okay, I'm really in a space. The Bible says don't take communion lightly. You don't have to be a member of the church. You just have to be a believer in Jesus to take communion, to remember who he is and what he's done. So at any point in our worship, when you're ready, you can come down the center aisle, and then we ask that you just go out on the side. I want to remind you that we have our giving stations, two on the side and one in the back. You can put your connection card in there. You can respond to God with your generosity. We also have these chalkboards for you to come up and write. And I hope today when we leave, we'll see some prayers on here, because I cannot wait to see what's going to be over here in the next 40 days. Father, thank you. Thank you for making a place for us. God, you always make room for us. Always. Lord, we can cry out to you, never say, you know what, I'm busy, hold on a second. Never. You're right there. Never preoccupied or holding us at arm's length. Father, we pray that you'd forgive us for just taking advantage of your grace. Lord, I pray that you would empower us now with confidence. Lord, I pray the next 40 days an anointing would come over this church like never before, Father, that these prayers would not be timid prayers, but prayers made in faith, prayers that are powerful, prayers that are confident, that say, I set aside a place. You know, people might say I'm undisciplined, but I did it. I set aside a place in my schedule, in my heart. I just came before God the way that I am, and I trusted him, and this is how he came through. Father, I pray that stories like Esther's miracle would begin to pour out here. Lord, there are needs here. There are people that need jobs, financial provision, physical healing, marriage restoration, parental child relationship restoration. God, you have the answers. And Lord, we come before you and we're going to just commit our lives to you over again. God, you've done so many miracles, so many in our lives. And Father, we don't want to have moments that grow cobwebs. Heard that once. I love it. We want something fresh to lean on. And so we come before you now and we thank you and we ask you in Jesus' name, amen.